T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
At your service on a Monday night, 9:06 in St. Louis, as we go all the way up to 11 o'clock tonight. I'm George Sells with you. You'd normally probably be listening to a little Cardinal baseball around now, but have an all-star game to be played and an all-star break to be taken. So that's what those boys are doing, and you've got me. And one thing that has been on my mind quite a bit lately, I should tell you, is buying a car. I've got a kid who's about to turn 16 in September, and we're going to have to do a little shifting and wheeling and dealing so we can put him out there on the road. God help us all, but this is what's happening. But if you're looking in the car market, no matter where you're looking in the car market, it's a tough time as a buyer. Reason for that, no shocker, is tied to COVID-19. So we're going to get into the details and get this all figured out. We are joined now by Brad Sowers. Brad is the president of the Jim Butler Automotive Group and also president of the St. Louis Auto Dealers Association. Brad, welcome to KMOX.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Glad to have you. Well, just tell me from your standpoint, the way I have understood the trickle-down of all this is COVID hits and a bunch of orders for computer chips get canceled and cars kept selling. People wanted to buy cars during all that. And now we're seeing the result of it because there are no computer chips in lots of cars. Is that kind of the run through?
That's kind of the start of the picture. It's obviously whiplash effect is what they're calling it. And the demand, everyone obviously stopped producing vehicles right as COVID hit and shut down America. And as demand continued to be strong because interest rates have been incredibly low, so your payments for your new car or your used car significantly lower. So therefore, a lot more people were investing in new vehicles or used vehicles. So today in America, an average American vehicle is 13 years old. So with all the new technology, people are interested in the new vehicles that are out there. A couple of other things. I think they had a fire in a chip plant in Taiwan, if I'm not mistaken, and that also caused quite a bit of delays for the chips to be made. And, of course, technology and the new vehicles we have today require a lot more computer chips than it did 4 years ago. So add all those together, and we certainly have a supply problem across America.
And then you throw in the used car market, and normally you would have had all these rental car companies selling those cars into the used market, and the rental cars companies didn't buy any cars, and now they're kind of competing with you for the used cars, aren't they?
Absolutely. And in fact, getting a rental car anywhere in America today is a little tough. And if you've tried it, I'm sure you found that out, or expensive, I would say, as well. So it's just a difficult marketplace from a supply standpoint. Great news is if you have an extra car lying around or a family member doesn't need a car anymore, it's a perfect time to sell your car back to a dealer. And they'll give you not only top money for it, but amazing amount of money for it. The bad news is if you need to replace that vehicle, there are no discounts on new vehicles across the country. And while financing remains very low, the price of the vehicles is probably at the highest level it's been in a long time.
That's got to put you in a difficult place as a dealer, because you want to give customers the best deal you can give them. You want to give them the car that they want. And it sounds like you're put into a position to say no to a lot of things you would normally jump at the chance to say yes to.
Absolutely. It hurts in a couple of different areas. One, 50% of the vehicles that are on order from the factory from us are already sold. So we're selling into the pipeline almost by 2 months right now. And then, of course, when you talk about, we have one of the largest service departments throughout Missouri, with no rental cars available, it's tough to tell a customer, hey, I want to fix your car for you, but I don't have another vehicle for you to drive. So it puts us into a very tough situation, especially if someone comes in, they've had an accident, they've totaled the vehicle, they need a new vehicle. Getting a rental car for them in short term is very difficult. And then two, finding exactly what they want is very difficult. So it makes it tough, but the team that we have has done a great job filling these gaps. And so far, we have a lot of happy customers right now, and it seems like the worst of this may be over at the end of July, and we'll see a little more volume from every manufacturer come and through this manufacturer through August. And I think once that picks back up, even though the demand is going to be incredibly high, it'll get better towards the end of the year.
Yeah, so tell me about that light at the end of the tunnel, because for this to shake out, that's the new car market that they're going to start to pick up. How long does it take the used car market to kind of whip its tail around and also catch up with things?
Well, I think there's two folds working for us here. I mentioned the average vehicle is 13 years old. So you're going to see, as soon as the volume or the supply breaks a little bit looser, you're going to see a lot more people in the marketplace, because we're estimating that the rates for loans will remain low up until almost 6 months from now. So I don't think you start to see the spend on the used cars really into Q1 or Q2. And that's when I think you'll see a decline in value of used cars out there.
Brad, I got to tell you, this is a lousy year to have a kid turning 16.
But it's great. Technology is so much better. If you look at what we drove when we were 16 and what cars are available today, technology and safety is a lot better. So I'm sure your son will do quite well.
Okay, I want to hear, what did you have when you were 16? I had a 77 Volkswagen Rabbit with no air conditioning.
I had a 67 Volkswagen, so bug.
Okay.
So, but if I went over 35 miles an hour, it vibrated so hard I couldn't drive.
Well, that's what the kids have to get used to. I think my kid will do better than I did, but maybe not by as much as I'd hoped. Brad Sowers, thank you again for joining us, president of the St. Louis Auto Dealers Association and president of the Jim Butler Auto Group. We appreciate you joining us here on KMOX.
Great to talk to you. Thank you.
KMOX News Time, 9:13.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
KMOX at your service, 9:18. We're with you all the way till 11 o'clock tonight. I'm George Sells, sitting in for the St. Louis Cardinals. They would normally be here. They're not here tonight. Taking a break, hopefully getting it together for the second half of the season. But we're not going to go there. We're not going to dwell on that. We were just talking in the last segment, as you may have heard, about shortages in the automobile industry. And I want to talk to you now about shortages, it seems like, everywhere else. And I want to hear from you. Our number is 314-436-7900. Again, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. You can also hit me up on Twitter if you like, at George Sells on Twitter. And the shortages, I mean, the cars are just the beginning of it. It's really kind of amazing. I mean, we can go back if we want to when things first happened, and I still don't understand why the world could not produce enough toilet paper for a pandemic, but for some reason it couldn't. Then, of course, things that made more sense, the run on wipes, the run on hand sanitizer, those sorts of things. I get it. Okay, that makes sense to me. I was able to wrap my head around all of that with the exception of the toilet paper. I could wrap my head around everything else. Now, however, we are a year and change gone into this pandemic, and the chip thing, again, you can explain that one with the cars, and boy, does that go a long way. I was talking to a friend of mine who works in the scrap metal business, and think about this as far as how the supply chain goes and the circle that the supply chain goes in. So this guy runs a scrap metal business. He is making about half the money he would normally be making. The reason is this. A lot of his money comes from selling recycled aluminum to factories that produce engine blocks to build cars. So we've already talked about there aren't enough computer chips. Therefore, a bunch of cars are sitting idle waiting to get their computer chips so they can be sold. Well, if they've got all these cars sitting idle, they're certainly not building any more cars. And with that, they're basically stuck with shutting down production. They've slowed things down out at the Wentzville plant, the GM Wentzville plant. That's been in the news for a while. And so that's trickling all the way down to a guy running a scrap business in Texas. And that's not all. Who likes coffee? Show of hands, anybody, coffee drinkers around here? If you open up your Starbucks app, the first thing you see is not the advertisement for the latest and greatest thing that will keep you awake until 3 a.m. It says, we're sorry for the inconvenience. Due to supply shortages, some items are temporarily unavailable. Check out the menu for new options or ask your barista for a recommendation. We appreciate your patience. And then you proceed to go through, and I believe it was the skinny vanilla latte my wife sent me to pick up the other day, and they didn't have it because they don't have the syrup or something like that for the latte, whatever. So there's another one. And then you can keep going here. And again, we're talking about now, you know, a year and change into this. We're getting close. God willing, we're closer to the end than the beginning, but there's more stuff. Let me tell you another story. My son is currently in Colorado. He's on a trip with a church group, and we were trying to get him all set up to go. And to do this, he needed a new duffel bag. So one would think it is not terribly difficult to buy a duffel bag. And I did what many people would do, and I ventured out to Target to buy a duffel bag. And I got back to the duffel bag area, and there was nothing there. They told me an aisle, and there was nothing. Okay, this is weird. They're sold out of duffel bags. So then, fine, go down the street. There's a Walmart a little ways down. Let's go check that out. Go in there. I go over to Sporting Goods where I find the duffel bag section empty. And my son goes over to the luggage area, thinking maybe he'll find something there. And literally every shelf in the luggage aisle was empty. I guess because everybody's been so freaked out by all this and haven't gotten to do anything for the last year, everybody went out and bought a duffel bag and a suitcase and went on vacation this summer. Because you can't get them right now. They're out of the stuff. Then we can go on to staffing. I had this conversation when I was here last with our friends over at Billy G's restaurant. They have a sign up in their lobby, basically telling folks, if you're waiting for a table right now and you see an empty one and we're not seating you at said empty one, please don't get mad at us. The reason? We have a shortage of labor. Can't find anybody to hire. to fill that, to take care of those tables. And it's going on and on and on. I mean, you've heard the stories, I'm sure, about all the different places that are having trouble keeping workers on. Another restaurateur I know was telling me the other day, they're normally closed. Restaurants, especially the more established ones, they're closed from Sunday and Monday for their workers to be off. This particular restaurateur told me he is now closed on Tuesdays as well, once again, because of the labor shortage. And then you get into supplies for the restaurants and for all these other places. I put a question out on Twitter earlier just asking folks, hey, have you heard of anything? What shortages are you experiencing? And I heard from Andy Candy over at Crown Candy up on the north side. And everybody knows Crown Candy. It's a great place to go. Everybody wants to be there. People love to sit down and eat, but a lot of people will also grab something to go when they've got the opportunity. And Andy told me that he's having an issue with the to-go orders because he can't get those paper bags with the handles on them. There's a shortage of paper bags with the handles on them. And I'll tell you what, that is the craziest thing I have ever heard. And I just heard that from another person. You can't get handled bags for the restaurants. I mean, this is the most amazing thing. And it's something that I look at and I immediately think to myself, we in this country right now, as we go through all this, we are learning a lot about what we can handle. What can we deal with? How much can we take? I told my kids about this. How much can you handle? Most people don't find out, at least in my experience, they don't face a real challenge, a real how much can you take kind of challenge until they're somewhere into their adult years. Maybe their 20s, maybe it's their 30s, a little bit later if they're lucky. That hasn't been the case this year because our kids with school, friendships, just the things that kids normally do that they've not been able to do, our kids have found out a lot about what they can handle. Business owners are finding out maybe a lot more than they want to know about what they can handle. I was told another luggage story. I was told by somebody else today that Macy's had a line of people gathered around 4 suitcases. Oh, it's Carol Daniel telling me about this. Our friend Carol Daniel handling the middays here on KMOX with St. Louis Talks. She said she saw people like gathered and lined up around 4 suitcases in the Macy's. That was all they had. So it's more of what you can handle. It's more of what you can take, both as a business person and as just somebody going day to day through life here. And another thing about handling, this is a bad way to handle things, but the last shortage I saw when I was kind of looking around online, they have a shortage of alcohol in Vermont, maybe from people trying to handle it. KMOX News Time is 9:27. 9:33 in the evening here on KMOX at your service. I'm George Sells. I'll be here with you for another hour and a half or so up until 11 o'clock. Now, my music fans out there, go ahead and get on the horn now. Give us a call, 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. I want you to be thinking about the best concert you ever saw. Best band you ever saw play, best show you ever saw. And I bring this up because of an anniversary of sorts. If you ask people, and this comes courtesy of our friends over at the Post-Dispatch, if you ask people what was the big historic thing that happened on this day in 1966 in St. Louis, they would quickly answer the All-Star Game. Kind of a legendary All-Star Game. They played it at Busch Stadium number 2, and it was like 103 degrees and miserable. But that was not the only thing going on in town that night. Just up Market Street at the old Kiel Auditorium, which seated about 10,000 at the time, there was a concert being played in front of about 5,000 people. The place was half full. It was this little band called the Rolling Stones. They received a write-up in the Post-Dispatch that was kind of meh, really, except for Mick Jagger. The guy was blown away with Mick Jagger running around like a crazy person, and I mean, that's what Mick Jagger does, right? Great concert, absolutely. I saw the Stones in 1992 in Foxborough, Massachusetts, and they were old then. It was kind of funny. It was the Steel Wheels album was the album, and there was a guy selling homemade T-shirts outside that said the Steel Wheelchairs Tour, and people were making fun of them. And this is 1992. That people are making fun of their age. Here we are. What is it? 30 years later, okay. They're still going, still playing, still looking good. And but think about getting to have seen the Stones in front of 5,000 people in 1966. How amazing would that have been? Okay, we got Dave from Florissant on the line. Dave, what's your best concert?
Well, I actually have two.
Okay.
Tied. I've been going to concerts for a while. First one was the Rolling Stones at the Kiel Opera House, summer of 1978, right after the Some Girls album came out.
Wow.
And the opening act for them was Peter Tosh.
Oh, yes, the reggae legend.
Yeah. And tied with that was AC/DC at the Kiel Opera House right after Back in Black came out.
That must have been something. Were you an AC/DC fan already? Because I know that when that album was coming out, of course, now it's like the legendary AC/DC album.
Yeah, I was already a fan. I mean, I had Highway to Hell and High Voltage and Power Age and all those.
Were you a little skeptical before the album came out, you know, trying to replace Bon Scott?
Yeah. They didn't play any Bon Scott songs.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you
hardly
what, those shows at the Opera House, I think that speaks to getting to see shows in those smaller venues. One of the best concerts I ever saw was one of the first ones I ever got to go to. It was in 1984 at the old Fox Theater in Detroit. Got to see U2 play there. I'm a big U2 fan. That just kind of generally ranks. I've seen them somewhere between 10 and 15 times, and I would take any of those shows over most any others I've seen. But there are some other special ones. And again, going with the small venue vein, we were in Louisville, Kentucky. My wife and I were living there at the time, and Prince did this mini tour where he was trying to get... He's trying to basically get around the people that were scalping tickets. And so he was looking for a new system. And so he did this little tour where they announced a show on a Friday. They sold the tickets Saturday morning, and they played it on Sunday. Boom, boom, boom. And it didn't work. They played at a 3,000-seat venue called the Louisville Gardens in Louisville, Kentucky. And the system didn't work worth a darn because they were still checking IDs with tickets at midnight. And the show had been scheduled to start like at 9, and it didn't start until I think they finally started at 12:30. But I got to see Prince play in front of 3,000 people. He played until almost 3 in the morning, and it was amazing.
Yeah, my first concert was Super Jam. I was 17 years old.
Super Jam
at Busch Stadium, 1976. It was Ted Nugent, Fleetwood Mac, Jefferson Starship, and Jeff Beck.
Those are some
General
good ones.
General Admission. Oh, my God.
And Super Jam was one that was a favorite amongst everybody. Dave, thank you for calling. Thanks for joining us. We've got Mark from St. Louis on the line. Tell me, what was your best one? What was your first one?
My first one was the Beatles in 1966.
Wow. Now,
not Sportsman's Park, but the first Busch Stadium.
No kidding. What do you remember about that? I mean, I think most people who weren't lucky enough to attend something like that, we just remember, you know, you see the old film of the Shea Stadium show and the girls screaming and all that. What do you remember about that concert?
It was raining, and the girls were screaming so loud I couldn't hear the music. My dad took my two younger sisters and I, and he worked for an ad agency that sponsored Anheuser-Busch, so we got some very good seats. But I did get an up-close view of all the Fab Four doing their music. It was pretty good.
Get any pictures or anything you were able to take home with you?
I was too young then. No, I didn't drag this stuff along. The next concert after that was Cream at Kiel Opera House. Gosh, I guess that was 69, maybe 68. So Eric Clapton, Jack Bruce, and Ginger Baker.
So what was the best? What would you say was the best show you ever saw? And you've got two really good ones right there I would think are in the running.
Now, are you asking me out of all the concerts I saw or just out of those two?
Everything you ever saw.
Oh,
could have been
that
last
would
week.
Be Eric, that's Eric Clapton at the Savage Center. Eric Clapton and Robert Cray played together.
Okay. That's
they share the show.
That's another amazing one. I was lucky. My first one, like my very first one, was The Police at Joe Louis Arena in Detroit. It was on the Synchronicity Tour, so it was the last tour they played until they got back together years later and finally did the reunion tour. And I'll say this about their reunion tour. I saw that, too. My wife and I saw them in at Madison Square Garden in New York. And you're talking it was 2006, I want to say, or 2007. And Sting could still hit every note in every song, just the way it sounded playing off the vinyl years earlier. And I was always amazed by that because there aren't too many who could do that. And then there's some like, my son was asking me about Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin. And my son sings, and so does my daughter. And they were both like, how did he sing like that? And I said, he didn't sing like that very long because he hasn't hit all the notes to most of Led Zeppelin IV since about 1978.
No, he hadn't done that for a while. I met Robert Plant one time up in Chicago. He's a really nice guy. I got stuck in an elevator with him. He was looking for a cord that went from a Walkman to a Discman. And I just happened to have one in my bag, and none of his roadies did.
That's good timing. I think we lost you. So sorry about that. We were about to hear about the Walkman going to the Discman. I hate it when that happens. Forgive us the technology. Give us a buzz back if you got a second there. That's how about that? Getting the chance to meet Robert Plant. That would be a pretty cool one too. I've been doing the request for first and best. You already heard me talking about U2, and we'll have another guest. We may have to delve off of the subject matter, but Michael Kelly is going to be calling us later on from Hancock and Kelly, and Michael is as big a U2 nut as I am. And I'll tell you, if I have to pick one U2 show, for me it's going to probably be them playing at the Boston Garden on St. Patrick's Day. And in the middle of the concert, they started playing a little they just took acoustic instruments out into the middle of the crowd, and they played Irish folk songs for about 15 minutes. And it was crazy good. The place went absolutely nuts. And let's see, we got Phil in St. Oh, wait, we got Phil back. Phil. excuse me, Mark. I'm sorry. Looking at the wrong names. Mark, you're back with us. Tell us real quick about meeting Robert Plant. Phil, you're next.
Oh, I got stuck in an elevator with him, and he needed a cord to go from a Discman to a Walkman, and I gave it to him, and I just happened to have it in my bag. I don't know why. I was with a film crew up there. We were shooting a series of videos, and we met in the bar later on. He's a real solid man, a real nice person.
Awesome.
I'll tell you another concert story I had. I went to see the Doors at Kiel Opera House. Morrison came out, and the rest of the Doors came out. They got about, 30 to 50 seconds into their song, and the aisles filled up with police, like St. Louis Police Department, and dogs. And about a minute later, the concert was shut down.
Oh, no. Jim Morrison had that effect on.
They said Mr. Morrison had made an obscene gesture, and that was the end of the concert.
Oh, that's not a happy feeling. Phil, thanks so much for calling us. Tell you what, run up against a break, everyone, but I'm having fun with this. So, Kim, Chris, Phil, hold on, and we're going to come back with you to do a little bit more of this after the break. It's 9:44. You're listening to KMOX. Okay, you've already heard my answer to my best concert. You can't go wrong with U2. My all-time favorite. But lots of good ideas here coming through. Lots of good stories. Guy who saw the Beatles, a guy who got stuck in the elevator with Robert Plant. This is a great music town, always has been. Hey, Phil in St. Charles, you're on the air. Welcome to KMOX.
My first concert was a band called Pure Prairie League in a barn with no seats down in the Ozarks back in the mid-70s.
What was your best?
Best ever was Springsteen, 1984. Probably often considered one of the best concerts ever given anywhere. He played for more than 4 hours. He did every hit, he sang songs that he hadn't even finished yet. It was just a great party the whole evening.
That's always the question people ask about a Springsteen show is how long did he play? And it's usually 4 hours plus, which is pretty amazing. We were talking about theater earlier. It's very cool that Springsteen reopened Broadway from COVID, doing his one-man show there in New York. So still at it after all those years. Phil, thanks for calling. Kim, you're on KMOX.
Actually, my favorite artist is Billy Joel. And that was my favorite concert when my son and I went 2 years ago to see him at Busch Stadium. And I really don't have any bands or musicians that I dislike, but another group that I really like is the Temptations when I seen them at Fair St. Louis. That was another great concert of mine.
The Temptations are legendary. My mom was in love with David Ruffin, like literally in love with the man. And if it had the opportunity presented itself, she would have kicked my dad to the curb in 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm visually impaired, and Fair St. Louis always had disabled seating, so we got to get in to see up close the Temptations. And there was me and my husband. He was also visually impaired, and we had two-sided guests with us. So when they came out, I'll never forget this, we all started yelling from the back, "My girl, my girl!" And they acknowledged that they heard us, and they eventually played it for us. And the husband of the couple got up and was dancing by himself to that song, and I will never forget that.
Isn't that one of those things you... To me, the sign of a really great performer, whether it's an individual, a band, whatever, they have that rare ability to somehow make you feel like you're the person that they're addressing. You're the person they're singing with. And you can see it with all sorts of types of acts. I'll throw away my cool factor for a second. I remember when I was a kid, I went with my mom to see Barry Manilow because my mom wanted to see Barry Manilow and my dad was working and she didn't want to go by herself. Oh, come on with me. And I'm like, I'm in high school. And I'm like, that Barry Manilow, how lame is that? And I'll tell you what, I went and even my 15 or 16 year old self at that point, I believed it was great. It was really good. It was
when I seen Billy Joel, my son went with me, and at that time he was about 28. I didn't even realize he or even know that he liked Billy Joel, and I mean he didn't tell me that until the night that we went to the concert. And I mean it's like he says yeah, he says I do, and then when we were going back to his car, he parked way far away from Busch Stadium, and I had my guide dog with me at the time to go to the concert. So this rent-a-cop dude, we got halfway out in the middle of the road, and he tried to make us go back, and I told my son, I said, "Ryan, you're going to get us put in jail." I said, "How would that look, a blind lady and her son going to jail, especially with a blind lady that has a guide dog?" And he said, "Oh, shut up, Mom. He was just a rent-a-cop."
Going to jail from the Billy Joel concert. And producer Cole Ducker told me to tell you that he also saw Billy Joel at Busch and says it was awesome. So you've got company there, Kim. Thanks for calling.
No problem.
Chris and O'Fallon, you're on KMOX.
What's going on, George?
Not much. What's your favorite?
I'd say what stands out to this day, let's see, Van Halen opened up for Black Sabbath.
Wow, that had to have been a show.
you couple that with my love for drag racing, I still have ringing in my ears. But it was Van Halen's first year, and God rest your soul, Eddie Van Halen. But Eddie Van Halen and Tony Iommi. Well, my top two guitarists are Tony Iommi and Richie Blackmore. So
yeah,
I've seen Sabbath twice and I've seen Rainbow twice, but I wish I had had the opportunity to see late Ronnie James Dio. He's a great singer, but I only catch them on my just YouTube videos on my phone. But yeah. he was only about 5'5", 5'6", but he had a voice.
Little man with a big voice. There's no doubt about that. I remember some of those albums. I got to see Van Halen one time, and it was the first tour with Sammy Hagar. And I know we're St. Louis and we're a big Sammy Hagar town, but Van Halen wasn't Van Halen without David Lee Roth. And that kind of bummed me out that I didn't get to see him with them. But that was good stuff. Any Van Halen show was a good show. If you want to really rock and roll, you also can't beat the Foo Fighters, who are coming back. And we'll be back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.